welcome to Wait What? The history quiz where we laugh at the past to keep from weeping about the present. I'm your host, Phil Ahrensberg. I'm a history nerd with a passion for illuminating the weirder crevices of the human story. I'm joined today by a panel as erudite as they are entertaining. Let's meet them now, shall we? First off, we have Chicago-based actor, improviser, and vocalist Lori McLean. How's it going, Lori?
Hello, Phil. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us today. Next, if you like to cry, you may know him as the mailman on This Is Us. Disney Channel fans know him as Mr. Larry Tate, the cowboy principal from Wizards of Waverly Place. He also teaches improv online and in person for companies and everyday people like you. It's Bill Cott.
Hey, Phil. It's so great to both see you and hear you.
Thanks for joining us, Bill. It's great to see you as well. Finally, he's an award-winning filmmaker whose new film, Alma and the Wolf, a batshit crazy horror film, will be released in select theaters and on video on demand on June 20th, Michael Patrick Jan.
Ooh. Ow.
Is that the tagline for the film?
Yeah, it's a combination wolf howl and self-congratulatory audience replacement. Yeah.
That's great.
The trouble of putting the applause in.
No, thank you. I've got the big we'll fix it in post button. Again, thank you all for coming here. Let's go over what we're going to do. The format round here is simple. I'll describe some strange event or person from history and ask you the panel questions about it. Delicious points will be awarded on how much I enjoy those answers, and the person with the highest score at the end wins. Today's explorers on the wild frontier of time will be competing, as always, for bragging rights and a box of Cap'n Crunch cereal. Today's topic, Cobra Commander, or the Great Missouri Cobra Crisis. Now, Bill, as
I am a Missourian, and I've never heard of this Cobra Crisis.
All
I knew about were cottonmouth snakes, or copperheads.
That's the Missouri state snake?
It's the most poisonous snake in the state, and you usually... They're around whenever you hit a creek or a river or even a lake.
No, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. So today's story is all about the power of the press, mass hysteria, and snakes. Our story begins in the city of Springfield, Missouri, in the peaceful August of 1953. Police are called when a homeowner spots a large snake in his driveway. By the time the cops arrive, the guy has killed the snake with a garden hoe. And to be clear, this is not like a garter snake. This is a sizable animal. The snake is about 5 feet long, about 4 to 5 inches thick, with a triangular head. The size of the snake, yeah. And its unusual head shape prompt the police to investigate. Panel, just doing a quick check-in. How do you all feel about snakes? Let's start with you, Mike.
I feel good. Real good. I love a snake. I mean, I love a snake. I live in California, and I see them here. You know, I live right next to a wild land, and I see them all the time. Rattlesnakes, very comfortable. I'm really comfortable.
Okay. Lori?
Yeah, I feel the same pretty much. Snakes, literal and metaphorical, are fine with me. I'm not too eked out by them. I'm trying to think. I'm more eked out by like sea bugs and things like that. Like lobsters and crabs and crayfish. I really hate them. It's really gross to me, but I'm okay with snakes. They don't bug me too much. I grew up in Ohio too, saw a lot of little snakes, probably like Bill saw, more like that size.
And Bill, are you good with snakes, or are you more on
the
Indiana side?
I am not. In the great words of Jim Stafford, I don't like spiders and snakes. spiders and snakes both are the things that creep me out and scare me the most. I'm not afraid of like old coyotes, mountain lions, things like that. But just the way they move creeps me out, both snakes and spiders. And I don't trust people that keep them as pets.
the snakes are a little tough to read, I find. All the naturalists say one thing, but it's, oh, boy, you know, there's a lot of anecdotal weight behind it. I have no problem with snakes. I don't tend to seek them out.
Yeah.
But given that, would you take on a 5 foot long snake if you saw it in your driveway?
Wow. Now it depends is if I had the proper weapon to take it down with and if it was anywhere near my child.
Right. Well, I'm going to assume all of you might protect your child.
See, you know, because otherwise I'm a puss.
Right. I mean, that sort of goes without saying, but all things being equal. And it seems like, as you'll find in the story, garden hose are the way to go.
Wait, what goes without saying that Bill's a puss?
Yeah.
What did you mean? What was no, I mean, yes, having known him.
Was it part of the introduction to him? Was it?
No, it goes without saying that someone would probably protect their child, even if they didn't like snakes.
Yeah. I used to have rabbits. I used to have rabbits as pets. So that always, that part of snake life bothers me. The seeing that people would just throw a rabbit into a giant python cage or something like that, that bothered me. So if I were if I were protecting my rabbit, I don't have children, but if I were protecting my rabbit, I would go after that Emmer Effer snake. Yes.
I was just in Mexico and I was leaving it's like an ersatz zoo that was in the jungle. And they had, you know, it was the kind of place where they had both cages with howler monkeys inside of them, but then there were also lots of howler monkeys outside the cages. Mm-hmm. And then there was also a cage that had three raccoons in it that were fighting over a hammock. And then, so I was leaving this, it was closing time at the zoo, and I was leaving, and this, these two women passed by me with a chicken, a live chicken. And I was like, that's a weird thing to have in a zoo, a chicken. So they walked over to a cage and they didn't really see me, and they chucked the chicken into a cage. And in about 3 seconds, a giant boa constrictor that was like the size of like the anaconda that eats, you know, Ice Cube in that movie, like just sort of like slithered out of nowhere and like wrapped itself around it and squeezed it to death with like the one little flappy wing coming out the top of the little column that its body had made until it was like flap, 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 flap.
And how much were the tickets to that show?
You know what? It was actually, it was gratis, honestly, because I paid for was the spelunking. The zoo was just outside the end of the cave after I came out. Unfortunately, the kids had gotten like so bored that they missed that whole part of the show.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
That's a shame.
That's a life lesson.
So the fact that this snake is, you know, pretty striking looking, prompt the police to investigate a little bit. They go to Maurer's Bird and Animal Company, which is an exotic pet store located just a block away from where this snake was spotted. The store owner, one Rio Maurer, much more about him to come, examines the dead snake and declares that there's nothing to see here. It's just a common variety local snake, probably with a birth defect, which, you know, explains the triangular shaped head. The cops shrug and its case closed, although not before the Springfield Press and Leader runs the story, embellishing it a little bit to bring out the more lurid aspects of finding and killing a wild snake. So any thoughts on what might happen next?
I'm already blaming this pet store for a snake that has broken out, possibly.
Let's not rush to judgment here.
That's what I do.
I'm going to blame the failing, what was it called? Press and Leader.
I've actually been featured in the Springfield Press and Leader. Literally
your triangular head.
My ex-wife, is from the Springfield Rogersville area. Mm-hmm. And, I was staying with her aunt and uncle, which are just shortly outside of that area, for the, tornado when it hit Joplin, Missouri. Missouri being known for its snakes and tornado attacks.
Oh, yeah.
This message brought to you by the Missouri Chamber of Commerce. So 1 week later, the police are called back to the same neighborhood on St. Louis Street when a large snake is killed by a resident across the street from where the first snake was killed. Again, this snake is about 5 feet long with a triangular head. This time, instead of going to a pet store, the detectives take the snake to a science teacher at a local high school who takes one look at it and declares it immediately an Indian cobra. They take it to the Springfield Zoo where the taxonomy is confirmed. No one is sure how or why a cobra is 1,000 miles away from where it should be, but it is 100% a cobra. Police return to Maurer's pet shop and asks if he keeps cobras in the store. They report he becomes irritable and impatient. Yes, he keeps some cobras in the store, but they're all accounted for. The Press and Leader runs with this story, showing pictures of snakes and naming Rio Maurer and his pet stores as subjects of interest in the story. There is a public outcry, and finally, the city's attorney calls for a formal police investigation. There are calls for the store to be closed, and Maurer is told to move the snakes out of town or he loses his business license. He transports the snake to an out-of-town storage facility, which turns out to be a barn, but maintains his innocence, quote, "The cobras aren't mine." So I'm going to do a check-in here, guys. Do you believe him? Are they his cobras or is he the victim of circumstance? Let's start with Bill.
I think they're his cobras. I always blame snake owners. You know, it's usually like, what is the, oh gosh, what is that saying? It's like the easiest, is it Occam's razor? Is that what it is? Or the easiest answer is the most obvious? Is that it? No, what is it called?
Yeah, no, that's Occam's razor. But Occam's razor was like a medieval monk who was trying to prove that God existed, and it doesn't.
Yeah, he didn't do a good job of it.
It wasn't a great. It's one of those things that people bring up that I'm always not you. You're lovely, but I'm right. A little suspicious when people bring that one up. Nonetheless, it was those guys' snakes.
You should explore the most obvious answer. And like when I was a kid living in Missouri, somebody had a boa constrictor. And they kept as a pet. And here's why I don't trust pet owners of snakes. They would let us come and pet it on Halloween. You can come by, you can get Snickers, and you get to pet the boa constrictor. And of course, it was the best house to go to. Years later, after I moved from St. Louis to Chicago, New York, and then Los Angeles, I always keep up with St. Louis news. That exact same neighbor was killed by his own boa constrictor.
Whoa.
So, and I'm pretty sure I know why it happened. Owner error.
you don't think the snake was holding a grudge?
It probably was. It was like, every fucking Halloween. Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm making it Thanksgiving.
It wasn't just an unfortunate accident.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? Mike, is Maurer telling the truth or?
Well, here's the thing. So where is this takes place in sort of like where some sort of place in Missouri where
Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
The capital. 1953.
Okay. 1950. I'm just going to say that I feel like there may have been someone else who I could see there being other cobra owners in the vicinity.
Larry?
I don't want to just jump to conclusions and profile an exotic pet owner.
I'm going to profile this guy and crucify him. No, I think it's probably him. But when you said Indian cobra, I was thinking like indigenous American cobra.
Native? No, actual. Like
actually India cobra. So I don't think the odds are very high that there are many cobras in this area. But this does make me think of this news story I just read where a dog that was abandoned by their owner, like traveled hundreds of miles to go back and bite the owner just recently.
Are you thinking, is the guy who owns the pet store Indian? Could he maybe have left his snake in India and it's traveled all the way from like Bombay to find him again in Springfield? That is a heartwarming story. Yes,
I love this. And maybe this snake is like consistently sizing the guy up and just getting ready to eat him or so, you know.
Or maybe trying to ruin his business.
It's a revenge story. I was thinking more that it was like a cute, like, thing where the dog and the cat like find their owner who's moved to Los Angeles to New York. But no, a revenge story.
Right up your alley, right with the spoiler. Yes, right up your alley.
Maurer's neighbors don't buy it. They tell the press and leader they've been seeing Maurer constantly dumping sacks of various kinds of snakes into a huge water-filled tub in his backyard. Not to mention various other incidents involving escaped monkeys and iguanas constantly plaguing the St. Louis Street neighborhood. Then, on August 31st, more cobras are spotted. The first is a hit and run at an intersection. A car hit the snake, didn't kill it. The driver got out and finished it off with a tire iron. Another one, reported as 6 feet long and 6 inches thick, was seen slithering under a car. And a third was killed in someone's front yard. So the press and leader runs a huge headline and cobra fever busts wide open. The public battle in the press continues. Maurer and his attorneys insist the city is violating his rights and that he and his family are receiving death threats. None of this is helped when on September 2nd, another cobra shows up. This time it's in a garage right behind Maurer's pet shop and it's discovered by a 6-year-old girl. Mm. Yeah. The girl's mother kills the snake, again with a garden hoe. The police are called, and when they arrive, they find Rio Maurer trying to stuff the dead snake into a sack. Rio Maurer angrily maintains his innocence. They are not his cobras. So let's assume for a second they're not his cobras. No, it's probably his cobras. Well, that's the end of round one. I'm going to award some scores here, and we will move on to the second part of this story. Any predictions?
I didn't tell you. One reaction I have to that is I long for a bygone America where everybody has a garden hoe handy. I'm really surprised by the number of people who were like, you know, they were able to like kill the thing with a garden hoe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm picturing it's a lazy summer in Missouri in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest years of our lives. Like everyone has a garden hoe and a front yard and they're out watering it, you know, of a Saturday morning and maybe playing some ball or, you know, whatever it is. It's just like so idyllic.
I was picturing more like they were growing crops for subsistence.
That's in our near future.
Yeah, that's how we're making America great again, by the way. Yes, yes. Return to the days where everyone owns a garden hoe because they need it.
Finally.
I've said it my whole life. Hoes are going to save us.
Yep, a hoe in every shed.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. Yep,
you.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Run, tell that. Let us move on to round two. Public anger intensifies, culminating in the first citywide snake hunt. Residents armed with garden tools and guns searched for deadly cobras in back lots and back alleys all over Springfield. No cobras are found. However, Springfield police have started opening fire on any reptiles they spot, gunning down several local iguanas. The next day, September 8th, another cobra appears. It's discovered by a couple of nine-year-old girls. Their fathers pin it down, presumably with a hoe, and he calls the police. Before the cops can get there, however, Rio Maurer shows up, stuffs the snake in a box, and flees the scene.
My God.
So,
bastard.
Yeah, what? It's nothing suspect. When the police confront him and demand he turn over the snake for identification, Maurer tells him to beat it, talk to his lawyer. It's just a harmless bull snake.
What, this snake here?
Sounds like a lot of bull snake to me.
But I mean, what era is this when the police knock at your door and you can just say, yeah, take a walk, flat foot?
Yeah.
Does this seem at all suspicious to you? I mean, is it possible that he's just trying to avoid more controversy?
Unlikely.
After watching enough true crime over the past 15 to 20 years, I still feel like there's part of the story we don't know.
That's what I'm thinking, too. That's the only thing that I'm holding back on. I feel like we might have a little case of an unreliable narrator going on here. There could be a little bit of that sort of like Agatha Christie, like, oh, what you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what happens then. The next day, another cobra is found and killed. The city has finally had enough and sends a full inspection team over to Maurer's store.
This should have happened with the first snake.
You know what? 12 snakes in, I think we should investigate.
Right. I mean, maybe after the third cobra shows up within a 2-block radius of this exotic pet store.
What do y'all mean, rule of threes?
Hold on. There's also a possibility that this is some sort of early version of MK Ultra.
Mm. It's also occurring to me that the episode of the Simpsons where they kill all the snakes might have been inspired by this, Springfield.
Oh. Right.
You know, the Simpsons does get a little uncanny if you do read the internet. They predict a lot of stuff.
I'm waiting for St. Patrick to show up.
Oh. We're going to kill pagans too?
I think, although it's possible that this is where the snakes went from Ireland.
Yes, that's exactly it. All the Indian cobras that were based in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Emigrated directly to Missouri in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So the team gets to Maurer's pet shop and they find deplorable conditions. Filth and decay, live and dead animals, all in horrendous squalor. I'm not going to go into the details, but regardless of anything else, fuck this guy.
The origin of the dead parrot sketch.
Yeah. Too soon. While this inspection is going on, same day, Maurer has traveled a few counties over to set up a snake exhibition at a carnival, offering to sell snakes to the patrons at rock bottom prices.
What? F this guy.
After several complaints from very nervous attendees, he's kicked out of the fair. Meanwhile, back at the inspection, Maurer's records show that a crate of snakes is unaccounted for and that 12 cobras have likely escaped. Now, if you haven't been keeping score, this means we have 5 dead cobras and 1 unidentified snake in a box in Maurer's car, probably a cobra. So we're only halfway through this cobra outbreak. At that moment, right outside the shop, a neighbor sees a cobra in the street and chucks a rock at it. The snake slithers under his house, and the police spend the next 3 hours bombarding the guy's house with tear gas until the snake comes out and they shoot it. The conflict between Maurer and the city continues, exacerbated by a stream of snake-centric op-eds from the press and leader. Maurer is presented with a court order demanding all animals be moved off the premises, and he still maintains that he's being bled dry for a crime he did not commit. On September 17th, another cobra, this is the 8th, is killed in the street outside Maurer's shop. Okay, so obviously something's going on with Maurer and his pet shop and his 12 escaped cobras. Given that this is a fairly large city, what is the actual danger here? And is there any kind of responsibility on the press and leader for snake fever and snake hysteria?
Well, I mean, are there other innocent snakes also being killed? What is the hysteria?
Well, I mean, the police and everyone are basically killing any reptile or small animal they see.
Or hose or like anything that's like longer than it is wide.
Yeah. But I mean, how much danger actually is there versus, you know, how much fervor is being whipped up by the paper?
Well, here's a question. So far, no one's actually been bitten or harmed.
That's correct.
Correct. Okay. All I keep thinking about is the police. Why weren't they investigating after snake number two? I mean, or maybe they
were. Number seven.
Maybe they were, but the fact that there's still question about where these are all coming from is so odd. This, like, did this start in August, did you say? Because this is mid-September now?
Yeah. Wow. It's been going on for about a month and a half.
Is this guy like the mayor's brother, the snake owner?
No, I mean, he's at odds with the city. He just has some kind of hot shit lawyer.
Here's another suspicion I have is if it's not his snakes, then there's something about his snakes that are causing the other snakes to come to his snakes. Like maybe one of them is a very enterprising hoe.
Oh, maybe do snakes go into heat? I don't know.
I think they go into cold-blooded.
Yeah, okay. You know what? There could be, I was just thinking what you were saying. There could be the person who sells the garden implements. I mean, if we're following the money, it's the guy who's selling the garden hose who's really going to make out. Like,
right. We're through the looking glass here, people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like the arsonist saying, hey, I put out the fire. You should be thinking.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe it's the hose salesperson.
The hose salesman.
Yeah. Yeah,
it must be a hoe down.
I was just going to say, is that, can you technically refer to that as a pimp?
So about a week later, a dog kills the 9th cobra and Springfield's officials get much more creative.
The 9th cobra. Hmm.
The city hires a van outfitted with loudspeakers to drive slowly through the town, blaring a record of Indian snake charmer music, hoping...
I'm just imagining a little Indian guy with one of those pipes that you always see in the movies.
The new city adjuster had gotten back from vacation in India where he had seen snake charmers and purchased this record.
Mm. So we've got one city official placed in India recently.
So Maurer publicly mocks the exercise, calling it a waste of time. However, a 10th cobra was spotted and killed that same afternoon, causing the city to declare the exercise a success. So we've got 10 dead cobras, one probably a cobra in a box in Maurer's car.
Six missing?
One unaccounted for.
We got one unaccounted for snake.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed the part where the box of snakes at the carnival.
Oh, no, those weren't cobras. Those were just other snakes he was trying to sell.
Like the police found like an unaccounted, like they went through, they found a bill of lading.
Twelve
Indian cobras, and he was like, "What?
What?
They're around?"
That's it's mere conjecture and speculation. It's flimsy. It won't stand up in a court of law.
Your Honor, I implore you to look at my client.
So, by late October, the story begins to finally die down. Although the paper, the press and leader, has been full of ads for snake-proofing your yards and anti-venom kits and things like that. On October the 26th, they published their last snake op-ed, kind of reminiscing about the beginning of the story a few months before at the end of the summer. Until the next day, when cobra number 11 is captured alive in a half-gallon pickle jar, 2 blocks from Maurer's shop. So with these 11 cobras accounted for and the snake Maurer has in his car, we are now, finally, at the end of Springfield's Cobra Summer. Maurer continues to deny he has anything to do with this, total innocence, but his name is pretty much mud in Springfield, and he moves out of town. And that's where he departs the historical record to live out the rest of his life in obscurity. So, case closed?
God, I hope not. I hope that there's a dangling thread somewhere.
Yeah.
As I always say, Missouri cops never quit until you're dead.
Yeah. So, let me divvy up some scores here. That was a very impressive round, everyone. And let's move on to round three, the twist. Flash forward to 1988.
Oh, geez.
A 50-year-old man named Carl Barnett confesses to the press and leader that he was the cause of the Cobra outbreak, not Rio Maurer. This is Barnett's own account of what went down when he was a kid. Apparently, he and Rio Maurer had a deal going. Young Carl was really good at catching snakes, and he would sell Maurer any local snakes that he found around town. In August of 53, instead of his usual fee, Carl struck a deal with Maurer to trade a snake for a tropical fish he'd like. They shook hands, happy, but by the time Carl had made it home, the fish was belly up. Returning to Maurer's shop, Barnett confronted Rio Maurer about the bum fish. This is, by the way, the worst pet store ever. This is a horrible pet store. Maurer, always a class act, tells the kid that that's just life in the big city. Sometimes you get a bad deal and you just have to suck it up.
Sometimes you get a bad bag of fish.
And Carl just has to like it. Well, Carl did not like it. He did not like it one bit. So later, he snuck around to the back of the shop where he found a crate of snakes, along with the snake he had just traded to Maurer. And, you know, also a dozen Indian cobras. Thinking he would even the scales.
Good one.
I don't get it.
Appreciate it.
They have scales on them.
Carl breaks open the crate, takes his own snake back, and then opens the back door and leaves the crate of snakes open in the backyard. He then watches in silence for the next 4 months as his town went absolutely bonkers with fear and paranoia. He feared he might face charges if he came forward, so he kept his silence for 35 years. Then, after going to a lawyer and being assured that there was no way he could face jail time, he came forward to confess.
But still being charged the hourly rate.
There's a TV interview with a guy. You can look it up on YouTube. He has zero remorse. He is 100% guilt-free. He blames Maurer completely for the whole thing. And Maurer apparently died a few years before Carl confessed. So, I go to you, panel. What a twist.
Quite a twist. However, it's surprising to me, and it gives us a little insight into the deductive reasoning powers of Maurer, that he didn't for a second suspect his child snake catcher, whom he had just swindled, as a potential cause behind this.
So here's the thing. Does Maurer actually believe, like, look, I know I deal in cobras, but...
And I'm missing 12 of them.
Well, but does he know he's missing 12 if he's, like, dumping buckets of animals into it?
I feel like
it's
the kind of thing you would notice. Like, you would be like, I just like a king cobra. Like, I just...
I don't know. I mean, they have reports of him opening sacks of snakes into a kiddie pool in his backyard.
So he's a sort of like, so he's just like a totally like ballistic idiot. Is like with like a, like, did, is there any report of how many tattoos he may or may not have had? Or,
you know, there was actually a sidebar to this story that I decided not to put in, but apparently he had put out when things were getting really tight with the city, Maurer put out the word in the snake dealer community that he was getting rid of some honey of a snake. Just some snake deals at rock bottom prices. So all these sleazy snake dealers start showing up in Springfield and like getting bites in the bars and stuff and getting pulled over.
Murdered by people with hose.
Well, but so this one guy gets pulled over by the police for drunk driving and he's got like three snakes in his car. And they're just like, what the? It's like, no. I came to buy snakes.
I think the most shocking thing to me is that the kid let them all out at once, but it took 4 months for them all to be found, or I bet no neighborhood dogs died. No one was bitten.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's kind of shocking.
What I genuinely know of snakes is that they are not at all interested in getting anywhere near people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Indian. Most Indians are pretty nonviolent.
Just ask Pakistan.
Yeah.
Oh, topical. That's topical at time of recording.
Topical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine they ate a bunch of rats, stray cats, things like that.
Yeah, there was no like rash of missing cats or like or anything like that, or like livestock that went missing or
livestock.
Why not?
Well, because they're not like cobras don't unhinge their jaws and swallow giant things, you know, whole. That's like constrictors and stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, it's agree to disagree.
All right. Fine. I mean, I am the snake expert. I've got this shirt on.
Oh, yeah, there's a snake on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what do we think of Carl?
I don't blame. Well, how old? He was like 14 at the time. Well, how old was he?
13.
13. Yeah, I'd give him a little grace. It's a very bad thing to do. it's a very bad thing to do. But as a kid and like feeling powerless against this snake dealer dude.
So you feel like he was justified in.
Maybe not justified.
12 Indian cobras loose on the city.
Yeah, not justified, but I understand where he's. I understand his rage at this guy.
Okay, so sure. Lori McLean in favor of mob violence. You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of hoes and mob violence. Put that on my tombstone.
Bill?
I think, I don't think it was justified what he did, but, you know, I remember some of the stupid shit I did when I was 13. And how quiet I would have kept it if it would have caused that sort of chaos.
I still don't like the pet store guy.
No, yeah. I mean, he's a swine,
he's
obviously.
A prick. Yep.
But I also wonder if, did he ever take it to an adult and maybe the adult cautioned him not to say anything about it?
Who knows? I think, you know, it's almost like the kind of thing where you have one chance to say something about this and the longer you take, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Again, it's a dozen Indian cobras. I mean, people could have died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, where do you stand on Carl?
I think, I don't know, I wonder, like, if this is one of those things that so often I think about social media and how if we had had social media earlier, all the wonderful things that might have happened if social media had always been around. I get the feeling that, like, if there had been such a thing as, like, Instagram at the time or TikTok, that this would have been very well documented and an easy case to solve because it would have been like you would have gone to do the snakes. There'd be video of it. It'd be, you know, it had gone viral. There'd be evidence of it and stuff like that. So I do think that this is one of those cases where social media could have solved the whole problem.
You know, I pine for those simpler days.
Yeah.
When you could start a cobra outbreak.
Yeah. And everybody didn't know your, everybody didn't know your business immediately.
Everyone was all up in your beeswax,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably what Maurer said.
Mm-hmm.
My assumption is that he knew his cobras were missing, but maintained that he had nothing to do with it. I like to think that it makes a funnier story if he is just completely naive through this whole process and just like, you know, why won't anyone believe me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he was a more sympathetic character, that would be a great piece on the story. Yes.
You know, a piece of shit animal abuser.
Right, right.
And disreputable snake dealer.
Right. And discount snake dealer.
Right?
Discount herpetology.
You know, it really just gives the entire herpetology community a black eye and a triangular head. Well, listen, kids, that comes to the end of the Great Missouri Cobra Crisis. Bill, did you not know any of this?
No, I've never heard the story before.
Okay.
I have a feeling that, you know, some relatives might have.
Excellent. Well, do you guys feel like you've learned anything from this piece of history?
Is there a lesson to be learned?
Like a moral instruction?
What's your takeaway? Yes.
Takeaway.
I'm going to keep Missouri on my no-go list.
Yeah.
It should be on there for so many other reasons.
Bill, where's the best snake barbecue in St. Louis?
Ferguson.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put that out there because of all the horrible things that happen in the state.
But everybody, we've been assiduously avoiding veering into that territory the entire time.
Ever since we hit St. Louis Street, like, you knew it was coming.
What were the police doing when they weren't protecting the people from snakes? I don't know. What else could they be doing? What are the police in Missouri doing?
They must have had very important business.
Very important business somewhere.
Although it's a state capital, it's a hick town.
God, you know, the pull of nostalgia is so strong to think of, like, the city is paralyzed with snakes and serpent fever. You know, never mind the Korean War and the civil rights movement and kind of the other stuff. It's just, it really harkens to this kind of sepia tone American mythology.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking when you mentioned social media too, like where were the vigilante, just the townspeople saying, we're going out tonight with our flashlights and our hoods.
Our flashlights and our hoods, and we're going to take care of these snakes.
Interestingly enough, around the Springfield area was where the bald knobbers started off, which were a group of vigilantes that would cover their heads with a sack and tie a rope around the neck. Mm. Recently, they got rid of a ride based on the bald knobbers called Fire in the Hole at Silver Dollar City.
All of that, to the uninitiated, I will tell you, sounded so incredibly dirty. From bald knobbers to Fire in the Hole, to Silver Dollar City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet they got some hoes.
Yeah.
They do.
And snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, listen, I'm going to tally up the scores. While I do, let's have you guys plug your stuff. Let's start with Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know when this will be released, but June 20th, this last movie that I've made, which is a fantastic horror movie starring Ethan Embry from Devil's Candy, but also from Empire Records back in the day, and Legion Lee, who's in current movie Sinners, starring them, will be out on in select theaters and also available on demand. So check it out. It's been doing really well in the festival circuit, and really glad that it's, you know, getting out there into the world. And it's a wonderful, weird ass movie. And you know, look it up, watch the trailer on the internet.
Great, Lori.
I am in a fully improvised 2-act musical called Blank the Musical at the Revival Theater in downtown Chicago. Last season I was on Chicago Fire. And make it all the way through the episode because I have a big confession at the end. I'll just say that.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Now, will you be appearing on Chicago Pope?
I sure hope so. Our woke Pope, yeah.
And Bill, what do you have going on?
I got a couple of movies in the can waiting to come out. One of them is Robot Dracula by James Balsamo, starring Malcolm McDowell as Robot Dracula. No script exists for it. It's mostly improvised. I was also in an indie called Bipartisan, and I really can't talk about that one either. However, I'm going to be headed back to Missouri. I'll probably be near the Springfield area this summer for the Special Olympics. I'm going to be a presenter and a guest at the Special Olympics. I've been involved with Special Olympics since the movie The Ringer. So I'm going to get some vacation time and some free time actually back in Missouri. Oh, and folks can always learn improv from me at theimprovtrick.com in person or online.
And you'll be appearing at the Springfield Cobra Fest this year?
Yes, I'm hoping to. Brought my hoe.
Excellent, excellent. Well, this is the tale of the tape. The scores came in and it was a close one. In third place, we've got Bill with 36 points. In second place, we've got Mike with 37. That means Lori, with an unassailable 42 points, is our winner. You get the Captain Crunch this week.
Thank you. Woo! I have no idea how the points were even rated, and I don't care. I won.
I feel the same.
I'm quick to judge, and I won.
That's fantastic. That's the kind of blind kind of enthusiasm we look for here on Wait What. And that is it for this week's Wait What. Congrats to this week's winner, Lori. Tune in again next time when we sit down for another feast of weirdness, stuffing our faces with knowledge from the all-you-can-eat buffet of history. Please do you all the podcast things, comment, share, and talk about it on your socials. Thanks so much, everyone, and good night.
Good night.
Wait What is hosted, written, and researched by me, Phil Ahrensberg. The show is edited by Dern Gleaves, and our music is by Wesley Devine.